Pillsbury Snow Sheen Cake Flour and Pillsbury Pancake Flour bring you Grand Central Station.
Speaks its target, shining rails in every part of our great country are aimed at Grand Central Station, heart of the nation's greatest city. Drawn by the magnetic force of the fantastic metropolis, day and night great trains rush toward the Hudson River, sweep down its eastern bank for 140 miles, flash briefly by the long red row of tenement houses south of 125th Street, dive with a roar into the 2.5 mile tunnel which burrows beneath the glitter and swank of Park Avenue, and then Grand Central Station, crossroads of a million private lives, gigantic stage on which are played a thousand dramas daily. Down deep in the tunnels underneath Grand Central Station, through trains and locals arrive and depart with noisy regularity. But six stories above the street level, all is quiet and serene in the famous Grand Central Art Gallery. Polite visitors view the pictures and speak in hushed, well-modulated voices. But not Grandpa Gleason. He's probably the strangest, most eccentric, most outspoken art lover who's ever turned up his Yankee nose at the paintings. Standing now before a sunlit seascape, he snorts loudly and says to his granddaughter,
"Shucks, Irene. Who'd want a picture of just a hunk of the ocean? Ain't nothing in it but waves. Not very big waves at that."
"But, Gramp, it's really a wonderful painting. Look at the sunlight just hitting those flecks of foam and the..."
No, I don't like it. It's too realistic. Ain't got any artistic expression to it."
"But that's a Zachary."
"Oh, so it's a Zachary, huh? But listen, I was painting pictures when that young whippersnapper was still in three-cornered pan. And don't remind me that nobody ain't never bought one of my pictures, neither. Well, the world just don't appreciate me yet, that's all."
"Oh, I'm sure they will sometime, Grant."
Sometime. It appears to me they're taking a dead-burned, long-winded time about it. I'm getting old enough now to reach some kind of success."
"Why, you were a success, Grant. A big success. You developed a wonderful Vermont farm, and you raised your family."
"Well, that ain't what I mean at all, Irene. I want to be known as an artist. Dang good artist, too. Here I am, living off my granddaughter, making her life unbearable. It ain't right for a man of my talents."
"Why, Gramp, you're welcome to live with me as long as you want. And far from making my life unbearable, you add a certain amount of color to it. Sometimes."
"Oh, I ain't got no right to tie down a lively young girl like you. Now, ain't that so, Irene?
Oh.
You ought to be getting married to some young fella. Sort of beginning a life of your..."
Grant.
"Oh, I thought you was alone. Howdy, young fella."
"Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Would you mind stepping a bit to the left? I'd like to sketch that picture."
"Why, of course."
"You want to sketch this bunch of waves by Zachary?"
No, the painting just below it."
"Oh, that one. Well, that ain't no good neither. Just a lifeless picture of a couple of ships supposed to be in battle."
"Well, that happens to be just what I want at the moment."
"Why, you an artist, young fella?"
No, why?"
"Well, you look like one. You need a haircut."
"Grand."
"I guess I do at that, sir. No, I guess you'd call me an inventor."
"Oh, you'll have to excuse my grandfather. He's apt to say almost anything that comes into his head. Come on, Grant. We ought to be going."
"Inventor, huh? Well, that's interesting. What you inventing, son?"
"Well, sir, it's sort of a secret."
"Please, Grant."
"Got something to do with ships, huh?"
Yes, I was told about this painting. That's as authentic a picture of a Jap battleship as can be found anywhere in New York."
"You ever see one?"
"A good many, sir. I was in the Navy."
"Honorable discharge?"
"Yes."
"You married?"
"Grant."
"Oh, I'm not."
"You'll have to excuse us, Mr....
Hodge. Paul Hodge."
"Well, Mr. Hodge, I'm afraid you might think my grandfather has overstepped all the usual bounds of courtesy. I'm terribly sorry."
"Oh, no, not at all. It's perfectly all right."
"Now, never you mind, Irene. I like this young fella. I was just going to ask him to come to your apartment for tea this afternoon.
Oh, Scratch.
Yes, you two young folks ought to know one another.
Oh, now.
He sets out some mighty tasty coffee cake. How about it?
Oh, Mr. Hodge, I'm terribly sorry. Gramp, I must insist you come along with me right now. You insulted Mr. Hodge and, well, you've humiliated me beyond belief. Goodbye, Mr. Hodge, I'm sorry.
Goodbye.
We live at 429 West Perry Street, apartment 6. Name is Gleason. Come about 4 o'clock. We'll be expecting you. I suppose you could have murdered me with your own two hands for what I said to that young fellow at the art gallery.
Well, I never came nearer to it in my life. And, darling, you must admit you deserved it.
Oh, I didn't so at all. That's just the kind of a young fellow that ought to have a woman fussing over him. He looks like he could use a little love and a haircut, too.
Grant, you're so blunt. Direct about something.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing I am. Life is too short to go beating around the bush. You want a man around, don't you? All right. You got to ask him.
But I don't want him around.
You don't?
No.
You don't even want him for tea?
Not even for tea.
Oh? And yet you've been baking coffee cake ever since we got home.
Oh, Grant.
Well, it's near 4 o'clock. He ought to be arriving any minute now.
Nobody in his right mind would accept such a cockeyed invitation. I'm sure he won't come.
He won't, eh?
Well, that's very interesting about your invention, Mr. Hodge. Another cup of tea?
Please, and just call me Paul.
All right, Paul. And now that you know you're among friends, what in tarnation did you need a sketch of a Japanese battleship for?
Well, you see, in this new submarine periscope of mine, there's a tape on which the silhouettes of all known ships are stenciled. This tape moves over a transparent mirror so that you not only see out of the periscope, but at the same time, you see the outline of these silhouettes in your field of vision. That enables the sub-commander to tell quickly whether the ship is ours or Japanese.
Well, I swan. Say, that's a right smart rig. Pretty dang neat. You got one of them things all made up yet?
A working model, yes.
Why don't you show it to the Navy?
Oh, yes, Paul. Why don't you?
Well, that's pretty tough. I don't know quite how to go about it.
Say, maybe my boss could help you.
Your boss?
B.J. Morrison.
Well, the wallpaper tycoon?
Yeah, she's his secretary.
He knows the Navy crowd in Washington. You see, we're making waterproof shell packages now.
No wallpaper.
Well, a little. We're trying to develop some new pattern for after the war. You know, designs you don't lie in bed and count. I'm sure B.J. will be glad to help you.
I don't know.
Sure. We'll get B.J. interested in Paul's gadget. He'll do anything for the war effort.
No, I'd certainly like to have Mr. Morrison see my model, especially since he knows the Navy group.
Say, I just thought of something. Never occurred to me before.
What, Grant?
Maybe B.J. could give me some pointers on where to sell some of them pictures I've painted. Yes, I'll take a couple of 4 or 5 of them along when we go to see Mr. Morrison.
Mr. Hodge, you say this is a complete working model.
Yes, Mr. Morrison. This is the optical part of the periscope, just as it can be used on any of our submarines.
And it's a dandy rig, too, B.J. Greatest thing since radar.
Don't you think the Navy ought to see it?
Well, I'm not sure that I know enough about it. Now, Mr. Hodge, it isn't quite clear to me. Why, Martha.
Hello, darling. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were busy.
All right, Martha. Come in, dear. Have a nice afternoon.
Oh, yes. I've been to the Modern Museum. They have the most exciting exhibit of post-war kitchen utensils. How are you, Irene?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you, Mrs. Morrison. This is my grandfather and Mr. Hart. Happy to meet you.
How do you do?
Howdy, ma'am.
Well, where did all the paintings come from?
Oh, they're mine. I did them.
You did?
Yep.
Oh, isn't that one lovely? Such subtle color. Such feeling for form and arrangement. But I'm not sure that I quite understand it.
Oh, you mean you can't tell what it is?
No.
Yes.
Well, it isn't a scene in Central Park.
No, but pretty close. It's a grove of sugar maples. Sugar bush, we call it up in Vermont.
Of course. Now I begin to see it. Imagine me thinking it was Central Park. How stupid of me. Did you really paint it yourself?
Martha, please. Now, we'd better take one thing at a time. This young man was explaining his invention.
Oh, sorry, dear, but you can't blame me for being enthusiastic about these paintings. Why, they're real works of art.
Well, thank you, ma'am. We'll talk about them later. But your husband wants to see Paul's invention here. And it's really quite a device.
Go ahead, Paul.
Well, sir, perhaps if you swing it around and point it out the window at the river, you can get a better idea. There. Now, see if you can focus it on that Liberty ship anchored midstream.
I don't see a thing.
Oh, well, turn the eyepiece a little to the left, sir.
You ain't looking into it right, B.J. Here, let me help you. Maybe it needs a little adjusting here.
Don't you see anything at all?
No. Not a thing.
Well, here's your trouble, Paul. The mirror ain't at the right angle. I'll straighten it up a little for you, B.J.
Oh!
Oh, Gramp. Gramp, you've broken my only mirror.
Gee, I didn't mean to, Paul. It come right off in my hand.
Oh, you ruined Paul's periscope. Paul, you can't work it at all now, can you? Oh, I'm so sorry.
That just about finishes my demonstration. It's the only mirror I have. Oh, Mr. Morrison, I'm sorry to have taken up your time for nothing.
Too bad, son. Can't you have another mirror made up?
I guess so, but not right away. It's a very special job and pretty expensive.
How much did it cost you?
$180. But when I get one, I'll... May I see you again?
Of course. Just ring me on the telephone. Anytime.
Thank you very much, sir. Goodbye, Irene. Goodbye, Mr. Grayson.
Goodbye, Paul.
I feel kind of sick myself. Paul, he called me Mr. Gleason. Up to now, he always called me Gramp.
The Pillsbury's Grand Central Station drama.
And I hope Minerva got all over the bee stings.
Grant? What are you doing?
I was just writing a letter. It's to my second cousin, Eli, out in Wisconsin.
Oh?
Yeah. I'm asking him about going out to help him work the farm.
What? Why, Grant, you can't do that.
Why not? He probably needs a man.
But you don't like farming anymore.
Oh, I could get to like it again.
Grant, what is all this? You're not running out on me, are you?
I got thinking last night. If I hadn't tagged along with you and Paul yesterday...
Oh, now stop blaming yourself. You didn't mean to break that here. It just happened, that's all.
Oh, it ain't only the mirror. I forgot about that. Sort of like I have about my pictures that I left in B.J.'s office. But I'm afraid I queered you with Paul. That's what's bothering me the most. Is he telephoned?
No, but...
You see, Paul is downright disgusted. And he should be, too. I should never have poked my nose into his demonstration.
Oh,
and you're the one to suffer. Like I always said...
But, Gramp...
I'm just an undue burden on you, and I'm getting out.
Oh, Gramp, I won't let you do it. I know you're happy here, and... Hello?
Irene, this is Paul. Can I see you?
Oh, why, yes, Paul, of course. Where are you now?
At the drugstore. I'll be there in less than 5 minutes.
All right, Paul.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Paul, eh?
Yes. Yes, he's coming up.
Oh, well, that's fine. Maybe he... Well, I'm going for a walk. Now, listen, you treat him nice. And remember, whatever he says about me is probably the truth. So don't you go defending me.
Why, Gramp, I don't ever have to defend you.
And you let him know that he's got clear sailing ahead. Nobody to botch things up anymore. You just tell him I'm getting out. For good.
Thought you'd never want to see Grandpa me again, Paul.
Well, I was pretty disheartened yesterday after the demonstration. A big chance like that and gone.
Oh, I know exactly how you felt.
It's happened before, hasn't it?
You mean Grant?
Yes.
Well, when I was 12, my father died. And Grant helped Mother and me out of quite a hole. Now he has no one else. I feel I owe him a great deal. A very great deal.
You're saying that makes me feel all warm and happy inside. You're pretty wonderful, Irene. To go on loving him, caring for him, no matter what strange things he says or does.
Well, I think it's far more wonderful for you to say what you just did after what happened yesterday in Mr. Morrison's office.
That isn't what I came back to tell you. Something entirely different. Irene, darling, I love you.
You love me?
Ever since the first time I saw you in Grand Central Art Gallery.
Oh, you're sweet.
Sweet enough to make you think you'd like to be the wife of a certain unlucky inventor?
Oh, yes, Paul. Yes, I think I'd like that.
I'll get myself a job. We'll have a little house in the country, and then...
Oh, but, darling, what about your invention? We've got to sell that the first thing we do.
Oh, that can wait. I'll get another mirror as soon as I can and try again.
Oh, I could have wept when it broke. I think my heart fell to the floor in just as many pieces.
But now it's fixed, honey. How does it feel?
Oh, it's singing, Paul. A strong, wonderful new song. Mrs. Paul Hodge. Won't Grant be surprised?
Well, I ain't a bit surprised. Just mighty happy for the both of you. You're getting a wonderful girl, Paul. Now, Irene, if you don't mind my saying so... I see him first, that day in the art gallery. Yeah, you two ought to make a mighty slick little couple. When's it going to be?
Well, we've been talking it over, sir. We think we'll wait until I sort of get established.
What? Yes, Gramp. And I'm going to keep on working for a while. You and I can go right on living here.
Oh, fiddle-faddle. Why, I married your Grammy on $10 that I won in a wrestling contest. What's the matter with your spunk, anyway? Get married now. Besides... Didn't I tell you, Irene? I'm going west. Help Eli out on his farm.
Oh, do you really want to do that, Graham?
Sure, yeah, sure I want to.
You do like New York, don't you, Graham?
Why, if I could afford it, I'd live right here all my life, in my own little apartment. Dang it, if I could just start selling my painting. But no, sir, I'm going to clear out. Farming ain't going to kill me, so I just... Oh, who in thunder could that be?
I'll go. Mr. Morrison.
Hello, Irene. Hello, Mr. Hodge. Grant.
E.J.
May I come in?
Oh, please do. So stupid of me not to ask you. I was so surprised to see you.
I've come to make an offer.
To Paul?
No, this one is for Grant. And I mean business.
For me?
Yes. Would you be willing to go to work in our art department?
Come again?
My wife showed your pictures to our art director. He says some of your paintings could be used just as they are... For wallpaper design.
Well...
He may even be able to use them as the basis for a new series of Morrison soothing patterns.
The kind of wallpaper you don't lie awake and count. Oh, Grant.
Oh, that's wonderful, Grant.
Well, you ain't funning me, are you, B.J.?
No, I mean it. The art director sees quite distinct possibilities in your work.
Well, if you mean business, how much would you pay me?
$65 a week to start. More if and when you work out as we expect.
I'll take it.
Oh, why, Grant, that's wonderful.
And one more thing.
Yes?
I want an advance.
Advance? How much?
$180. Ain't that what your mirror cost you, Paul?
Yes, sir, but
right. You see, B.J., before I do another thing, I want to replace that mirror, Paul, that I busted.
Why, that'll be all right. My car's outside. You come down to the office with me, and I'll have a check made out right away.
All right. Well, Irene, what do you think of me now? Pretty slick, ain't it?
Oh, I'm proud of you, Grant.
We all are, sir.
Well, come on. Oh, by the way, young fella, bring that invention of yours in as soon as you can. Don't forget, I want another look at it.
Thank you, sir, I will.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, children. I'll see you both when I get home from work.
He's really a wonderful old man, Irene. Imagine him wanting to buy me a new mirror.
Oh, you take it, Paul. It'll make him so happy. Now you really must sell that periscope.
I'll do my best.
I'll make a little bet with you, dear.
What?
I'll bet they buy it the minute they see it. If I lose, I'll marry you the very next day.
And if you win?
I'll marry you anyway. Because there's only one cure for a man who needs a haircut as badly as you do. And that's marriage.
Anxious to learn the names of the Broadway stars presented by Pillsbury in today's Grand Central Station drama, and I'll tell you in just a moment. But first,
ladies, we know how easy it is to put things off. We know how you've told yourself,
one of these days I'll try Snow Sheen and make one of those marvelous cakes myself.
Well, how about having that pleasure today? Yes, this very afternoon. How about making your Easter cake with Pillsbury Snow Sheen cake flour?
You'll be delighted with the result. For your Pillsbury Snow Sheen cake will actually be three ways better. Higher, finer textured, better flavored than cakes baked with ordinary flour.
Yes, ladies. Now's the time to step up to Snow Sheen. Not only for special occasions, for every cake-making purpose as well. Ask your grocer for a package today. Pillsbury Snow Sheen cake flour.
And now our cast. Today's Grand Central Station drama, Grandpa Crashes Through, was written by Charles Holden and starred Parker Fennelly as Grandpa with Jane Cotter as Irene and John Archer as Paul. Mr. Morrison was played by Nicholas Joy, Mrs. Morrison by Reza Royce, and your narrator is Alexander Scorby. We leave Pillsbury's Grand Central Station until next week at this same time. Listen for the train whistle and hear another complete and original radio drama with a great Broadway cast, starring Edward Franz, recently on Broadway as leading player in the Shepherd Trow production of The Stranger, Chester Stratton, now being seen with Catherine Cornell in the revival of The Barretts of Wimpole Street, and Gilbert Mack, who's in the current long run of Leland Haywood's production of A Bell for Adonno.
This is George Baxter, saying goodbye from Grand Central Station until next week for Pillsbury Mills. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.